to them and then come back and ask the question, what does Calvary mean to me? The first thing I want you to think about is when you look at Calvary through the eyes of Mary, the mother of Jesus. Can you imagine the feeling in the heart of Mary as she stood near the cross and watched her son die upon that cruel cross? One of the memories that she could have flooded her soul was when he was just a baby. Or she could have thought about the words of Gabriel in Luke 1 telling her she would give birth to the Messiah. And she would think about perhaps his first steps and his first words to the day that he took up carpentry next to Joseph, to the first miracle he performed in John 2 by turning the water into wine at her request. And I thought about all the memories that may have flooded the mind of a mother that stood at the foot of the cross and looked up at her son as she watched him die. And I thought about Mary. There she was, standing there, looking at her son. She'd seen his power displayed, and now he dangles between two thieves. She knew he was innocent of the trumped-up charges of the religious leaders. And she also knew that he had the power to perform another miracle and come down from the cross. And no doubt she may have wondered, will he come down? But can you imagine the sorrow in her heart as she saw the spit and blood drip from the beard of her son? When the blood pours forth from his wounds, from his brows, as the blood is coming down into his eyes from where they put the crown of thorns upon his head? The wounds from the scourging, the nails in his hands and his feet. And there he is put to an open shame. And no doubt she wanted to hide him from the jeers and hate-filled eyes of the people. No doubt a mother's love would look up at that cross and would do anything to hide him and protect him and defend him. And the Bible says there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother. Have you ever looked at the cross of Jesus through the eyes of Mary? But then if you take your Bible, look at somebody else in verses 26 and 27. In John 19, in verse 26, when Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing by, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, that disciple took her to his own home. I want you to take note that the divine revelation said, the disciple whom he loved. That's talking about John. John is standing there. And when Jesus looks down, he sees concern for his mother. And he says to his mother, "Woman, behold your son," as he looks at John. And he looks at John and he says, "Behold thy mother." In other words, John, take her away from this sight. And John, you take care of her. But have you ever stopped to look at Calvary through the eyes of John? John's heart, no doubt, melted as well. He had hoped that Jesus had come to restore the kingdom of Israel. Now he stands at the foot of a cross, looking up. And now he's watching the one he left all to follow die on that cross. He loved Jesus and had come to believe he was the Christ. But how could this happen to the prophesied Messiah? No doubt John was confused. No doubt John was hurt. No doubt John looked upon the cross and he could not help but think about all the miracles Jesus performed. And there he stood looking up at him. And he hears the words of Jesus instructing him to take care of his mother. And I thought about him taking Mary away from that gruesome sight. There John looked upon Jesus with flesh torn, veins exposed, blood dripping to the ground and puddling around the cross. And to John, when he looked at the cross, no doubt his heart melted. You remember just a few hours before, John was leaning upon his breast. John had loved him. John had knew that he was the Messiah, and now John is confused with all that's happening. But then if you take your Bible, look if you will in the book of Luke in the 22nd chapter. And when you come to the book of Luke and the 22nd chapter, look at Calvary through the eyes of the religious leaders. In Luke 22, if you have your Bible, look at verse 35. In Luke 23, and look at what the Bible says in verse 35. And the people stood looking on, but even the rulers with them sneered, saying, "He saved others, let him save himself, if he is the Christ, the chosen one." Now look at what the rulers said. And notice how the Bible words it. Even the rulers with them sneered. Have you ever looked at Calvary through the eyes of the religious leaders? They sneered. They laughed. They enjoyed the gruesome sight. To see Jesus hanging on that sight to them meant victory. To see Jesus on that cross meant that they could eliminate the one who questioned their position, who questioned their overreach of authority. No doubt they watched with joy and glee as Jesus struggled to catch a breath, as he would pull his body up on the nails that were driven through his hands and feet to inhale just a breath of oxygen, and then let that body sag down on the same nails as the pain was too great to stay in that position. His muscles knotted with dehydration. Cramps surge through his body, and he sags on the weight, and his body is in excruciating pain. And there they stand, sneering and laughing and mocking, saying, "If you are who you say you are, come down. We'll believe you." And they did not look at Jesus with 1 ounce of sympathy, but they looked at Jesus with great joy that they were eliminating a problem. Calvary to them was a day of victory. Jesus would be seen dead, and they could go back to business as usual. But then, if you have your Bible, look at the very next verse. Have you ever looked at Calvary through the eyes of the soldiers? Even the soldiers mocked him. In Luke 22 and verse 36, the Bible says the soldiers mocked him, coming and offering him sour wine, saying, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." Have you ever thought, here they are mocking him? They wouldn't even give his parched tongue water but sour wine. And they cried out, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourselves." To them, this was just another day at work, but they were going to have fun at another's expense. They had already parted his clothes. They'd already took what he had, and they were going to keep that. Now they're looking up laughing at it. However, have you ever stopped to think when the earth quaked in Luke 23? On death day, when Jesus died and the earth quaked, notice what they say in verse 47. In verse 47, when the centurion saw that Jesus had breathed his last, he glorified God, saying, "Certainly this was a righteous man." Mark's account in Mark 15:39 says he said, "Surely this was the Son of God." I've often thought about that moment. That moment when that centurion said, "Surely the one we've been laughing at, the one we've been mocking, the one we've just been making fun of, he is who he said he was." Now, let's go back and let us have Calvary to ourselves. What do you see through your eyes when you stand near the cross of Christ? Do you see a helpless martyr, a good man crucified, but one who didn't have the power to stop the cruel actions of all? Or do you see the Son of God dying to save you from your sin? Open your Bible, if you will, kindly, to the Old Testament, to the book of Isaiah and the 53rd chapter. And when you come to Isaiah 53, look beginning at verse 3. This is what was prophesied, and this is what we should see. In verse 3, it talks about Christ being despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Notice that's twice. The word despised is used. That's hatred. That's greater than hatred. That is someone that just cannot even stand to look at someone. And then in verse 4, surely He has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed Him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon Him, and by His stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shearers is silent. So he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who will declare his generation? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people, he was stricken. Have you ever looked at that? We like sheep have gone astray, but it took the Lamb of God to take away our sin. Do you see the horrific sight of how they treated Jesus? Do you know what the cross shows us? The cross shows us the ugliness of sin. How much God hates sin. How God will not tolerate sin. It shows us the holiness of God, that He is a just God, that He will not ignore that which is unrighteous, that He will not ignore iniquity. The cross is the greatest demonstration of how much God hates sin. And yet at the same time, it's the greatest demonstration of how God loves your soul. It's the greatest demonstration of love ever displayed. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 8, it says, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. But if you look in verse 8 of Romans chapter 5, notice the statement that is made. It says that God demonstrates His own love toward us. And while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Did I deserve such a sacrifice? No, I did not. And may I say with all kindness and yet with all candor, neither did you. We had violated the holy law of God. We were separated. We were lost in our sins and our iniquities and our transgressions. We have rebelled. And God said, I see the sin of man. And what needs to be done is man needs to be reconciled to me. But there's nothing man can do. So He sends His Son, and His Son, there suspended between heaven and earth, shows us the depth of the love of the Father and the Son and the Spirit for our soul. When we partake of the Lord's Supper, or when we have some quiet time during the day, do you ever reflect upon the cost of our salvation? I think it's important that we take a few moments and have Calvary to ourselves. And to see the cross for what it is, our means of salvation. Oh, we are to be obedient to God, and I do not want to be misrepresented. I do not want to be misquoted. But I want us to understand, as good as we can be and as hard as we could try, without the cross of Christ, we would all be lost. Now, we're to be obedient, and we're to be children of God, and we're to follow in the footsteps of Christ, and we're to walk and follow His example, and we're to do good, and we're to do good works. But I want to tell you, my friend, if it weren't for His cross, we'd all stand condemned. And if I see the cross as I should, I wouldn't quibble about baptism or obedience. I would just say, Lord, You speak. And I'll obey because You died for me. You know what I think some of us need to do? Is stand near the cross and have Calvary to ourselves. I think some of us have wandered so far away from Calvary, we don't appreciate what God has done for us. I'm fearful that some of us never contemplate, we never meditate, we never think about what Jesus did to save our souls. But if I can ever get it into the heart of men and women, what Jesus did, they would obey. Oh, I wish I had the power to preach the gospel in such a way that it would just convince people to look at the cross of Jesus Christ. Today, take a few moments as we already have with the Lord's Supper. But take a few moments and have Calvary to yourself. And think about how much God loves you. That He'd be willing for His Son to die for you. And then ask this question. How much do I love God? I'll tell you. The saddest thing is for someone to love you and you not reciprocate that love. And there are a lot of people who don't love Jesus in return. I'll tell you what, my friend. Look at the cross. And have Calvary to yourself. And you'll obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you need to do